Hello, this is Terry Burdick reading to you today from the Commercial News, the Weekend Edition, Saturday and Sunday, March 21st and 22nd. We'll start with our local news, go into what's going on around our state and our nation, and we'll wrap up with some sports, which I know there's a lot going on in that area right now. Also, we'll take a break about midpoint of the day, or of the read to spend some time with the obituaries that are in our newspaper today. So let's get started. Let's start with today's front page, above the fold headline, Best Seats in the Gym. Scores Table volunteers show great commitment to NJCAA tourney. And this comes to us from reporter Chad Dare with a Dateline of Danville. Tonight at the Mary Miller Center, two teams will be playing for the ultimate goal, an NJCAA division national title. Both squads have talked all week about their teamwork getting them to the final game of the season. The same could be said for the members of the scorers table at the Dick Shockey Court, who've been there to keep track of the scorebook, run the game clock, update the scoreboard, and handle the shot clock. Those eight individuals are a vital part of the 32-game tournament that started at 9 a.m. on Monday and will conclude with tonight, and that's Saturday night, 7 p.m. championship game. You can't ask for a better group of committed volunteers. They're all experts at their individual crafts, and we're very fortunate to have them, said tournament director Brian Henningsen, who spent several seasons on the scorebook during the national tournament. The feedback we get from the officials is that they are very complimentary of the head table. Everyone in that group takes control of their areas, which allows the kids on the court to do their thing. Yes, you read that correctly. The members of the scorers table are volunteers. So why do they do it? I love having a front row seat right here, said Eric Roberts of Rossville, who's been on the scorebook duties for 18 years at the national tournament. I've seen some fantastic players, absolutely fantastic. I love watching the coaches and being right in the middle of it all, interacting with the referees and working with my good buddy Gary Borgwald. And while Roberts has the book for about 12 of the 32 games, Borgwald has scheduled himself for all 32 on the scoreboard and clock. I guess you could say that I'm stupid, he answered when we asked him why he did it that way. Seriously, I love doing it. I love working with the people in this tournament, and there isn't a better place to watch the games than right here at the table. Roberts was actually the person that helped get Borgwald from working concessions to the table. I started working at the tournament in the late 1990s, Borgwald said. Eric, my partner here, also worked with me at Bismarck Henning, and he worked on getting me out here. Back when I was doing concessions, I could only see a few minutes of a game, but now I have to watch the whole thing. Also running the scorebook this week at Mary Miller have been Kyle Bent for 2 games, Mark Janeski, 6 games, Susan Kenter, 10 games, and Brad Weaver, 2 games. Roberts points out that he got started on scorebook duties back at Rossville Alvin when his son Brandon Roberts played for the Bobcats. It's the best thing I ever did because I had to keep my big mouth shut during games, he said. Brandon brought me out here to watch the national tournament when he was a freshman at DAC and I got hooked. I went to Tim Button and said, I wanted to get involved. Getting involved is also how former DAC baseball standout Jeff Desmond found his way to the shot clock. It started when I was an assistant coach for Tim Button, Desmond said. I never really played basketball, post-YMCA basketball, but I've always liked being around athletics. Doing the shot clock back then was kind of part of my duties as an assistant baseball coach. And now, I don't know if they were desperate, but they asked if I was interested, and I said, sure, Desmond said. This is definitely the best seat in the house. I love seeing how the table interacts with the referees and the coaches. I'm going to keep doing this as long as they keep inviting me back. Others on shot clock this weekend included Weaver and Jason Woodworth. One other perk of the job is eating in the hospitality room. Continuing with local news from our front page, Danville hosts fire training events. Holmes Shanks to be honored with bell ceremony. This comes to us too by reporter Chad Dare. More than a century ago, Danville firefighters Albert H. Holmes and Albert F. Shanks died in the line of duty while fighting a fire at the Independent Order of Odd Fellows on North Vermilion Street. Today, that same location at 125 Vermilion Street will be used to host 2 major training events, according to a release from the Danville Fire Department and Captain Ryan Allison. This location is deeply meaningful to the Danville Fire Department, said Allison in the release. On February 17, 1915, firefighters Albert H. Holmes and Albert F. Shanks died in the line of duty while fighting a fire on North Vermilion Street. Training at this site while also honoring their sacrifice helps ensure their service is never forgotten. The two firefighters were killed when a wall collapsed while they were standing on a second-story fire escape and directing a hose stream through a window. Four other firefighters were injured in the collapse, and five workers were injured in a second collapse on February 19th while cleaning debris from the fire scene. A bell ceremony conducted by the Danville Fire Department Honor Guard will take place at approximately 1 p.m. on Saturday, March 28th at 125 Vermilion Street to honor the commitment and sacrifice of Holmes and Shanks. Members of the public are welcome to attend. The following weekend, the first training event set for this Saturday and Sunday will feature the Illinois Fire Service Institute. Crews will be in the area from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. each day, setting up training grounds and conducting drills. During these hours, the parking lot behind the structure and the alley immediately east of Vermilion Street in the area will be closed so that students can operate safely. The following weekend, March 28th and 29th, the Danville Fire Department will then host the nationally recognized Nozzle Forward class. This course focuses on hose management skills, with students operating hose lines under pressure and flowing water within structures. For this event, the same parking lot and alley closures will be in effect from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. each day. Access to Obsidian Coffee will remain open from the alley both weekends, and customers may park in the United Refrigeration parking lot during the training period. More than 50 students are expected to attend the Nozzle Forward class, with firefighters traveling from Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Kentucky, Ohio, and Wisconsin. During this training, firefighters will be flowing large volumes of water in the area around 125 North Vermilion Street and 124th North Hazel Street. Businesses and residents nearby may notice temporary discoloration in their water as increased flow can stir sediment in the water lines. The department thanks Aqua Illinois for supporting this class by providing water for training operations and supplying bottled water for students. Additional class sponsors include Kehoe's, Elkhart Brass, and State Farm Insurance agent Ross Webb. Another story of local interest on our front page, Council approves Lynch Road solar projects. Again by Chad Dare. The Danville City Council approved special use petitions for a pair of Soltage co-located fire megawatt solar energy facilities along Lynch Road across from ThyssenKrupp's location. This project is east of Soltage's solar facility near the intersection of Voorhees and Michigan that has been online for more than 6 months. The petitions had already been approved by the Danville Planning and Zoning Commission on March 5th, and both of these projects will cover 58 acres on a 68-acre lot with a vegetation screen buffer. There will be a total of 24,000 single-access trailer solar panels, none more than 11 feet off the ground. The project is planned to produce electricity for 40 years before being decommissioned. The special use petition passed on a 10-3 vote with Alderman Tom Hightower, Alderman James Poshard, and Alderwoman Carolyn DeToy voting no, while Alderman Rick Strebbing was absent. There was considerable debate on the topic, in part because the solar projects are part of an enterprise zone with the city and Vermilion Advantage working to attract major industrial development to the area. Alderwoman Tricia Teague voted for the project, stating that Soltage had agreed not to take the tax abatement that the enterprise zone had called for, and the new solar power being sold to ThyssenKrupp would give them major help with the cost of manufacturing their crankshafts. She didn't think it was wise to turn this down for something else that might never come. Also passed during the Wednesday City Council meeting were the proposed contracts for tearing down the old Studio 25 site at 124 and 128th North Walnut, and old Milliken Dry Cleaner site at 604 and 615 North Vermilion, and the old Downtown Chart Records and DC Fitness sites at 125, 129, and 131 North Vermilion, all of which were approved last week by the Public Works Committee. The Council also approved an item passed by Public Works concerning environmental remediation along the south side of Fairchild between North Vermilion and Hazel Streets. Well, this must be a sure sign of summer. The registration begins for VCCD Summer camps. The Vermilion County Conservation District, VCCD, is excited to open registration for their 2026 summer camp programs. According to a release, VCCD summer camps offer outdoor fun for children 3 to 18 years old. With almost 5,000 acres between Kennecott County Park and Forest Glen Preserve, children will gain appreciation and knowledge of wildlife and the great outdoors. Guided by experienced camp counselors, the activities will help children explore their natural world through hands-on discoveries, hiking excursions, and art. For children 3 to 5, introduce young children to the natural world by exploring through stories, activities, crafts, and more with a parent or guardian. Each class is organized around a theme and emphasizes active learning through sensory experiences and movement activities. Toddlers may sign up for one camp or both. Grow something wild. And children will learn how plants grow, and they will take home their own planted seeds to watch it grow. That camp's available at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. on June 16th and 10 a.m. on June 17th. There's also a hide-and-seek animal hide-and-seek. That is, discover all the fascinating ways animals hide in nature. And this camp is available at 10 and 2 on June 18th and 10 a.m. on June 19th. Each of these camps will be at the Kennecott Education Center, and they will last approximately 75 minutes, and the cost is $5 a child per session. For children 6 to 9, explore the forest through books, activities, and a critter crawl. From rotting logs to tall trees, come out and discover how amazing forests can be. This camp on wonder bugs will be from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. on June 11th at the Kennecott Education Center, and the cost for this camp is $20 per child. There's also a Young Explorers. During this fun-filled classic summer camp, kids will participate in a nature hike, roast a hot dog for lunch, discover wildlife, and create an arts and craft project. This camp will be offered at 9 a.m. on June 23rd at Kennecott Education Center and at 9 a.m. on June 25th at the Gannett Education Center in the Forest Glen Preserve. Cost for the camp is $35 per child. And finally, the VCCD is offering Pioneer Kids. They will get to see what it was like to be a kid in the 1850s. Campers will hike to Pioneer Homestead, make a jump rope, and cook a sweet treat on the hearth. This camp will be offered at the Gannett Education Center from 9 to 11:30 a.m. on July 14th or July 16th, and the cost for that particular camp is $20 per child. Looking at what's available for children 10 to 13, Gone Fishing allows the camper to practice fishing from start to finish. They bait their hook, they care for their fish after the catch. They'll also learn to identify common Illinois fish. Campers will see a live ethical demonstration on how to clean, cut, and prepare fish after the catch, and all fishing equipment will be provided. This camp will be held from 9 to 11:30 on June 9th at Horseshoe Pond in Kennecott County Park, and the cost is $20 per child. Also, for our kids that are 10 to 13, yep. Creek Stomping Camp will allow the camper to follow our naturalists on adventure in Willow Creek while searching for aquatic life and observing animal tracks. Participants must wear closed-toed shoes and clothes that can get wet and muddy. This camp will be from 9 to 11:30 a.m. on June 10th at the Gannett Education Center, and the cost is $20 per child. Junior Explorers will enjoy a classic summer camp program similar to our Young Explorers camp, but with nature adventure activities geared more to their age range. Explorers will take a hike, roast a hot dog, discover wildlife, and create a unique art and craft project, and the camp will be from 9 to 3 on June 24th. The cost is $35 per child. Learn about the diversity of fish, birds, mammals, and more that call Lake Mingo home with district naturalists while paddling around Lake Mingo. Kayaking basics will be covered. All participants are required to wear a provided life jacket. This camp will be from 9 to 11 on either July 21st or 22nd at the Lake Mingo Boat Ramp in Kennecott County Park, and the cost is $20 per child. And lastly, for our children ages 14 to 18, a brand new Trailblazers camp will allow teens to explore an off and on trail hike, try their hand at flint and steel fire starting, and trek through the creek on a creek walk. Trailblazers will get wet, muddy, and cook their own lunch over an open fire. The camp will be from 9 to 3 on July 8th at the Gannett Education Center, and the cost is $35 per child. Registration forms and information can be found at vccd.org/summer programs. They also are available at the Kennekuk and Forest Glen offices, and all fees are due at the time of registration, and camp placement is not confirmed until fees have been paid. If you have any questions, give a call to Laura Danzel at 217-442-1691, or you can email her at ldanzel, that's L-D-A-N-Z-L, at vccd.org. A quick look at our community briefs. The Foodmobile is making stops in Rossville and Ridge Farm this week. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank announces the Foodmobile will be distributing food to local families facing food insecurity in Rossville and Ridge Farm on Tuesday, March 24th. The distribution is part of the Food Bank's Foodmobile program, a system of mobile food pantries designed to help bring nutritious food to rural or underserved areas. The first stop will be at the Chrisman Park in Rossville from 9:30 to 10:30 on March 24th, followed by a stop in Ward Park in Ridge Farm from 11:30 to 1:30. For a full schedule of the Foodmobile and some other FAQ and more, visit the eifoodbank.org. If you're looking for something fun to do on April 3rd, the Danville Olympics are set for April 3rd. First Fridays in downtown Danville announces the 2026 Danville Olympics from 5 to 8 p.m. on Friday, April 3rd. A team of 2 to 5 friends or family members can participate in an evening of free mini tailgate-style games, live music at Temple Plaza by Groovetown, food trucks, and refreshing drinks. According to a release from the City of Danville, local businesses are stepping up as proud event hosts, bringing their most exciting and competitive mini games to Vermilion Street and transforming downtown Danville into our very own Olympic Village. Teams of 2 to 5 will report to the check-in area, your official athlete credential station, to receive a scorecard and a map of the event layout. From there, the torch is in your hands. Teams can compete in as many mini events as possible to earn points, climb the leaderboard, and go for the Danville gold. Every challenge conquered moves a team closer to the podium, grand prizes, and bragging rights. Additionally, for those who want to join into the festivities without competing for medals, several open play exhibition games will be offered. For more information regarding Danville Olympics and more upcoming events, please visit the First Friday website at cityofdanville.org/First Fridays in Downtown Danville. That sounds fun. Well, if downtown Olympic bar games aren't your, or tailgate games aren't your style, here is one that will keep you moving. BOV announces inaugural 5K race. People will not only be looking to the skies this June for the 10th at Balloons Over Vermilion at Kennekuk County Park, but they will also be putting on their own bodies in motion. Balloons Over Vermilion is launching the inaugural Up and Away 5K to kick off the festival weekend. The race will begin at 7:30 a.m. on Saturday, June 6th at Kennekuk. According to a release, runners and walkers alike are invited to take part in the scenic course through one of Vermilion County's most beautiful outdoor spaces, offering the perfect way to kick off festivities and celebrate movement and community. This is an event we've been excited to add for quite some time, said Kristen O'Shaughnessy, organizer of the 5K race. With the move to Kennekuk, we finally had the opportunity to bring it to life. We hope the Up and Away 5K becomes another wonderful addition to what is already an amazing event. We encourage everyone, young and old, runners and walkers alike, to come out and join us for our first annual race. Following the race, there will be a yoga session led by Merritt Spicer of Yoga on the Go. The 1-hour session will begin at approximately 9 a.m. The yoga session is free for Up and Away 5K participants and open to the public for $10 for those who wish to attend without racing. The class is designed for all experience levels and offers a refreshing way to continue the morning celebration of wellness and community. Registration for the race has already started and is available on their website at balloonsoververmilion.com, Up and Away 5K. And there's also registration the day of the race starting at 6:30. The cost is $40 for those that register by April 15th, then it goes up to $45. Participants will receive the official race t-shirt, race bib number, a finisher medal, and admission to the post-race yoga session. Runners are encouraged to register by May 1st to guarantee their race t-shirt. So much to report on the local event scene. Jaguar Players celebrate Women's History Month with Broadway Musical Review. In celebration of Women's History Month, the Jaguar Players at Danville Area Community College will present Nothing Like a Dame, Her Story, a celebration of women in Broadway, an all-female musical review featuring Broadway songs performed by talented women from across Vermilion County. Performances will take place at 7 p.m. on March 27th and 28th and 2 p.m. on the 29th in the Bremer Center's John and Kay Shaner Theater on the campus of DAC. According to a release from the school, this one-of-a-kind production highlights the powerful roles women have played in Broadway, while showcasing the incredible voices and talents of local performers. From timeless Broadway classics to modern show-stopping favorites, the review celebrates the strength, artistry, and stories of women on stage. Ticket prices are $20 for general admission, $15 for DAC employees and retirees, as well as seniors, and $10 for students of any age. Wow, time is going fast this morning. We are at the 20-minute mark, so a little late for our obituaries, but we will see what those have in store for us next. We have just one death notice today, Reba J. Draper in Danville. Reba J. Draper, age 83 of Danville, passed away on Tuesday, March 17th at her home. A service to celebrate her life will be held at 11:30 a.m. on Monday, March 23rd at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Burial will follow at the National Danville Cemetery, and visitation will be held from 10:30 to 11:30 prior to the service on Monday. Memorials in her name may be made to the Wounded Warrior Project or to the Disabled American Veterans. Well, we talked a lot last week about the NJCAA National Tournament, and the headline that we have today is Surging to the Final Four with this editorial note. Because of early print deadlines, the results of the NJCAA National Tournament semifinal game between Danville Area Community College and Parkland College on Friday night are not in today's paper. That story and all others regarding the how that tournament wound up can be found at www.commercial-news.com/sports. But let's take a look at what was in the paper on Saturday. DAC takes down number 2 Palm Beach. And this comes to us from reporter Marvin Holman. The duo of sophomores Jeremy Wilson and Jeremiah Panawaz has always been bringing energy to the Danville Area Community College basketball team. On Wednesday, Wilson and I'm going to call them Jeremy and Jeremiah. Jeremy and Jeremiah supplied the energy once again, and the number 7 seeded Jaguars took down number 2 Palm Beach State 72-53 in an NJCAA Division II National Tournament game at Mary Miller Center. Wilson had 18 points, while Jeremy had 16 with 7 assists and 4 steals. Those guys are the heart and soul of the team. They bring a lot of energy, DAC head coach Dewan Goward said. Jeremy does it from the forward position, and Jeremiah brings it from the guard position, and they meet in the middle, but they play at a high level all the time, and they bring intensity, and it becomes contagious for the rest of the guys. We lean on them a lot to get us through situations and how locked they are with games. Our chemistry is so good that you can throw anything at us and we can handle it, Wilson said. No matter how hard it is, we'll come together and stick to the game plan, and Coach G's got us on the right game plan. Our teammates and our coach got us here for the Final Four. We just have that dog mentality, Jeremiah says. We go back and forth throughout practices and the game, but at the end of the day, we fight for each other and put our bodies on the line for each other so we have each other's back. After playing on Tuesday against Mid-Michigan, the Jaguars had to see Palm Beach State beat Sunny Orange 86-66 to see who they would play on Wednesday, and then Goward started to scout the Panthers. It was a quick turnaround, but our guys were ready, Goward said. We defended at a high level, and some of the schemes they like to run offensively fit how we like to run offense, so we gave ourselves a chance by stopping a lot of shots. Coach G is the best scouting coach, and he is going to give us all the best report and game plan, Jeremiah said. All we have to do is follow it, and we can get the job done. Palm Beach State scored 88 points on Tuesday, but was held back by the Jaguars, and they had 18 turnovers. That's a really good basketball team. They lost their starting point guard and their backup point guard, so that has a lot to do with them getting a lot of turnovers, Goward said. I will give them credit because they competed without 2 of the most important people on the team. Our guys took advantage of it and put them in a position that they're not normally in, and it worked in our favor. We wanted to speed them up a little bit, Wilson said. They were not the best shooting team, but they're a great team with a bunch of athletic guys. We wanted to stay on the boards because they want to crash and we want to speed them up. Elijah Stark had 11 points with 6 rebounds for Dak, while Blake Reed and Antoine Franklin each had 7, and Denzel Anatoe added 6. Marvin Goff was the only Panther in double figures with 20, and Rick Jerlin Sr. Feliz had 6 points and 14 rebounds, and Javon Palavra had 7 points and 3 assists. In more local sports, Westville baseball beats Danville. The Westville boys baseball team had 18 hits as it defeated Danville 12-8 in their season opener on Wednesday. Owen Atwood had 3 hits and 3 RBIs for the Tigers, while Alec Davis had a home run and 3 RBIs. Matthew Darling had 3 hits and 2 RBIs. Ben Johnson and Gavin Long each had 2 hits and an RBI. Kipton Apple and Jace Smith each had 1 RBI. Easton Barney had 3 hits, and Christian Giles had 2 hits. Barney got the win with a strikeout in 3 innings after taking over for Darling in the 3rd inning, and Apple pitched the 7th to clinch the win. In other sports from other local baseball teams, Casey Westville 6, Oakwood 3, Armstrong Potomac 6, Georgetown Ridge Farm 2, Iroquois West 5, BHRA 4, and in prep softball, Westville 12, Danville 0. In more softball, BHRA 9, GCMS, so that's Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin 9, and Gibson City, Melvin, Sibley 2, St. Joe Ogden 18, Salt Fork 2, Marshall 2, Oakwood Schlarman 1, and Rantoul 17, Hoopston Area 0. Looking at that prep schedule for games that are coming up this week, if you'd like to catch a game on Monday, it looks like Blue Ridge will be at Armstrong Potomac, Heritage at Georgetown Ridge Farm, Oakwood at Unity, Paris at Westville, and Danville will be at Mahomet Seymour. The Blue Ridge game is at 4 p.m., and then Heritage, Oakwood, Paris, all at 4:30, and the Danville at Mahomet Seymour will be at 5. In prep softball, Blue Ridge will be at Armstrong Potomac, Tri-County will be at Georgetown Ridge Farm, and Oakwood Schlarman will be at St. Joseph Ogden. All those games start at 4:30. In prep girls soccer, Mount Zion will be at Danville at 4:30, and these games are all on Monday. And in prep track and field men's college golf, the Danville Area Community College will be at Dan Salisbury Memorial Collegiate Invitational Indicator on Monday. Lots going on. It makes us feel happy that spring is here. In our final time together, let's take a look at an editorial today called Be Ready for Spring. After a topsy-turvy winter, the area recently recorded temperatures in the upper 60s and tornado warnings one night with snow and 28 degrees the next morning, spring arrived at 9:46 Central on Friday. Even the most ardent lovers of winter must be happy to know warmer days soon will become the norm. Our ancestors celebrated the end of winter, but not with basketball tournaments and the start of baseball. The Greeks believed it was the goddess Persephone, bringing warmth and flowers with her as she returned from the underworld. Vikings thought spring meant Baldur had been resurrected, marking the victory of light over darkness, and Celtic people planted seeds, decorated eggs, feasted, and took long walks in nature to mark the change of seasons. Even the tradition of spring cleaning traces its roots to those who believe scrubbing floors and opening windows allowed the winter's negative energy to escape and created room for new growth. Local residents already experienced one of the other traditions of spring, severe weather. Part of Vermilion County found itself in a tornado warning last week. Luckily, no twister touched down nearby. Illinois already has recorded more than 30 tornadoes so far in 2026. Hopefully, that's not an indication of what the rest of spring will bring. The state has seen an upswing in tornadoes, however, with 126 recorded in 2024 and more than 140 last year. The National Weather Service issues watches and warnings when severe weather heads our way. Part of that information comes from people who serve as storm spotters. After completing training at visitweather.gov for details on spotter training, there's some scheduled on April 7th in Urbana and an online session on April 11th. Local volunteers go out to keep eyes on the sky and relay accurate conditions to the Weather Service. Those recent severe storms also should serve as a reminder that everyone should stay alert to the weather. With so many people watching streaming services, it could be easy to miss warnings from local television stations. Local residents can sign up to receive messages on their cell phones from the Vermilion County Emergency Management Office by visiting vercounty.org/emergency-management and completing the online form. Families should also develop a plan to ensure their safety during severe weather threatening the area. Designate a safe place for family members to gather. It's also recommended to put together an emergency weather kit with medicines used by family members, a battery-powered radio with extra batteries, a flashlight, first aid kit, and some cash. The arrival of spring certainly is worth celebrating, but don't wait for thunder to rattle windows before preparing for severe weather. This has been Terry Burdick reading with you today from the Commercial News. I look forward to reading again with you soon.